Track 8, Normal for Norfolk. Now, if you were listening to last month's edition, you'll have heard the first part of Sam Elmhurst's mission to bring a small kitten from Corfu to Norwich, and the rescue was well underway. So let's continue the story of Olive the jet-set cat. Here is Sam to relate the second part of Olive's journey, and it certainly was quite a marathon.
At last, we were on our way back to Dawn's, and as soon as we'd parked, I was out of the car and within minutes had scooped up Olive from her playpen, and she was nuzzling me, mewling, and she seemed to remember me. And taking her through into the house, Dawn suggested I had a little siesta, as by now I'd been up since 1 in the morning. So Olive and I spent a very pleasant couple of hours, part dozing and part playing, and then it was time to get ready for the taxi, which was due to take us back to the airport at 5:30. Well, Dawn held Olive while I put a little pink harness on her, as I'd been advised that this is what you should do when travelling with a cat, in case customs have to take her out of the carrier for any reason. There was so much to think about, and a cat suddenly getting loose and running amok through Corfu Airport was a terrifying thought. She looked very sweet in her harness and was surprisingly calm as I put it on her. A little kitten who up until a few weeks ago had been living wild and free and now fully restrained and being bundled into a black soft carrier. It was quite unbelievable, really. At the airport, I carried Olive very carefully and kept a wide berth from others so she was not bumped, because her carrier looked like an ordinary bag. Reaching security, I tried to explain to a Greek official that I needed to get through, but that I had a cat with me. And because she was so small, she was allowed to go through with my hand luggage, and that meant going through the X-ray machine on the conveyor belt. An hour later, we were called to our departure gate, and at last, we were able to queue up to get on the plane. Well, 5 minutes later, we were emptied onto the tarmac and queued once again to get on the plane. It moved at a snail's pace, but at last we reached our seats. Because I had a cat on board, I was allocated a window seat so that no traffic up and down the aisles would upset her. So I settled Olive at my feet under the seat in front of me and covered the bag with my cardigan so that she wouldn't fret too much. But now she started to meow. I bent down with difficulty to soothe her, but now the engines had started and the plane was rolling across the tarmac, and in seconds we were airborne. And now Olive was mewing even louder as she could feel the air pressures change as we were launched into the sky. A young couple sat next to me with a toddler on their knee, and I tried to explain to them, in French, that I had a cat with me. J'ai petit chat dans mon sac. And they smiled and pointed at the bag at my feet. I smiled back, nodding my head. They'd understood me at least, however rusty my French was. And 2 hours later, at 9:45, we came in to land at Lille. The flight had been successful. I was met at the airport by my friend, and soon we were on the motorway leading out of Lille and bound for Calais. The final phase was ahead of us, and that of getting through French customs at Calais and boarding Le Shuttle. We eventually found the pet reception area at the port, and instead of having to take Olive into the reception building, an official came out to scan her microchip, check her paperwork, and give us the all clear for leaving France. We had to wait a couple of hours at the port for our booked shuttle, and so now it was time to let Olive out of her crate, which she'd been transferred to earlier, and give us some freedom to roam around the inside of the car. She climbed onto the dashboard and looked out of the window, wide-eyed in astonishment. She was particularly interested in some seagulls who were pecking away greedily at the leftover scraps of fast food which littered the car parking area. And standing up with her back legs on my knees and her front legs perched on the dashboard, happily taking in these unusual surroundings, she was certainly no worse for wear after her journey. And so far, I was relieved to see this. And finally, after travelling all night and driving through Sussex, we reached Norfolk, and Olive was finally able to set her paws down on carpet in the confines of my bedroom so that the other incumbents didn't alarm her. Well, of course, the other cats could tell that there was someone new in the house, but it would be a few more days until they met face to face. And when they did eventually meet, it was all quite harmonious. I mean, there's been the odd spat and ongoing bouts of friendly rough-and-tumble play, but they all get on so well, really. She's a little tiger in a minuscule frame, making Honeysuckle look quite chunky and compact in comparison. Which, of course, is not a nice way to be described, Honeysuckle feels, any more than it is to be called the lady in the van. And sort of quite dumpy compared to the jet-set kitty. But they're both so loved. And, being cats, they actually don't give a furball about my giving them human thoughts and voices, as long as I keep loving them. And that is non-negotiable.
Thank you, Sam. What a heartwarming story for all cats and cat lovers.